Chapter 9. Kate's heart stopped. When it surged to life again, an impulsive, "Oh, fuck!" dropped from her lips. Her hand flew up to her mouth in shock, compounding the sense of shame rising up her throat like a rash. But the old lady just laughed. "Forgive me, dear. I'm sorry to startle you," the lady said, her eyes bright with merriment.
No, I'm so sorry," Kate said hurriedly, stepping over shards of glass and empty flower pots to make her way towards Luna. "I had no idea. I mean, I didn't think anyone was."
She swallowed her words and regrouped.
"I just wanted to look at the greenhouse. I would never have intruded if I'd known you were home."
"Not much of it left to see these days, I'm afraid. But you're welcome to look around." Luna, and it had to be Luna, Kate thought, unless she'd somehow stumbled into the wrong house, had a sweet, velvety voice that belied her years. Physically, she was tiny, no more than 5 feet tall, and looked frail and insubstantial in a pale blue cardigan and flowery polyester dress. But her eyes were a clear, bright blue, and her voice hinted at a much younger mind dwelling within the body of an older soul.
No, I'll leave you in peace. Again, my apologies."
Kate offered a penitent smile and turned towards the greenhouse doorway.
"Nonsense."
Luna waved a slightly trembling hand to push away a thought.
"Won't you come in?
I've just made a fresh pot of Darjeeling."
Kate hesitated, wondering if the invitation had been a genteel gesture of old-fashioned politeness or a genuine offer. Come in? Inside her house? Luna didn't even know her. How could she so blithely invite her in for tea like it was 1954 and people didn't worry about psychopaths and thieves around every corner? For that matter, maybe this unassuming little old lady was the psycho, living in a dilapidated old house that wouldn't have looked out of place as the haunted house in a parking lot carnival. Maybe there'd be 100 cats in there, or bodies of male boarders discreetly dispatched with arsenic.
"Thanks, but I should be going,"
Kate said, going for her own genteel politeness, which ended up sounding and feeling uncomfortable and forced.
"Damn it,"
thought Kate, stopping in the doorframe and closing her eyes. She'd spent most of her life feeling uncomfortable around strangers and not following up on opportunities when they presented themselves. If she had any chance of getting what she wanted out of life, she was going to have to start being a bit braver. Well, maybe not braver, exactly. Luna couldn't have weighed more than 80 pounds and looked like she might blow over in a stiff breeze. And if there were bodies of deceased bachelors in there, well, she'd just back out carefully and call Callum. "More loosened up," she amended, "more open to possibilities, no matter how uncomfortable she felt." She turned around.
"My name is Kate Malone," she said,
a bit of an awkward tremor in her voice.
"Mrs. Josipovich and Mrs. Hatch told me about your greenhouse and suggested I come over and see it."
Okay, so it was closer to name, rank, and serial number than a conversation starter, but she had to start somewhere.
"It's lovely to meet you, Kate. I'm Luna. Come in, dear, come in. Sit down with me and have some tea."
Luna turned and went back into the house without waiting for Kate's answer. Kate picked her way carefully across the debris and entered the house, following Luna's tiny frame down the dark, cool hallway to a surprisingly bright, high-ceilinged kitchen painted a cheerful buttercup yellow, which seemed to bloom into life at the end of the hall. The whole kitchen was like a well-preserved film set from the 1950s. The cabinets were very dated, probably cedar with about 10 coats of white paint on them, and the Formica countertop looked like it had been there since the Truman administration. Even the fridge was a bullet-shaped I Love Lucy style, with the letters frigid...RE peeling off the front. Kate looked around in amazement, charmed at how cozy and inviting this throwback of a room was. An old transistor radio sat near the deep double sink, some AM talk show blaring out a heated conversation between host and caller. Luna switched it off and beckoned to Kate to go through to the next room.
"Do have a seat in the parlor, my dear. I'll bring in the tea."
Can I help you with anything, Mrs.? Kate faltered.
It's just Luna, dear. No, go on through. I can manage.
Smiling awkwardly, Kate pushed her hair behind her ears and moved past Luna into the parlor. The room was exactly how Kate had imagined it would look, based on the kitchen and on Luna herself. It was the kind of good room that her friend's grandparents had always kept off-limits to the sticky fingers of clumsy children. Faded, dusty rose broadloom carpeted the floor, and two dainty Chesterfields sat opposite each other in the center of the room. Porcelain figurines stared out wistfully from behind the glass of several display cabinets, and a grandfather clock ticked away sleepily in the corner. Along the far wall, a large fireplace stood empty and black, and beside it an old upright piano housed a collection of photo frames and collector plates on little brass easels. Everything was neat and just so, belying the neglect outside. This lady had pride in her home, Kate realized, letting her eyes roam over everything. It was like stepping back into the past, to a time when this kind of carpet and these little decorations meant class and elegance. The exterior of the house was obviously beyond Luna's ability to care for, but in this little world of ballerina figurines and lace doilies, Luna certainly had her standards. Kate took a seat on one of the uncomfortable sofas, just as Luna came into the room, bearing a tea tray with a teapot in a knitted cozy, two cups, and a plate of digestive biscuits. The cups rattled slightly as Luna set the tray down carefully on the little table between the sofas.
"There we are,"
Luna announced, and arranged herself on the sofa opposite Kate. She looked up at Kate with a warm, engaging smile, as if to say, "Now that the niceties have been attended to, we can finally say hello."
"Your house is lovely," said Kate, looking around appreciatively.
"I'm partial to it,"
Luna said, a gleam of genuine pride in her eye.
"I've lived here for 80 years.
Kate blinked and spoke without thinking.
80 years? Really? That's incredible.
"Oh, yes, since I was 3 years old. It's been in my family since 1839, in fact. My great-grandfather, Horace Travers, built it himself long before any of these other houses were here."
Luna gestured vaguely to the street outside.
"Must have been a paradise then. No one around to spoil the view. But never mind all that. You said your name is Kate Malone. Are you new to Cedar Lake, dear?"
"Oh, no. I lived here for nearly 10 years as a child," Kate said, watching as Luna poured them both a cup of amber-colored tea. "I moved to the city for a number of years, but I've just moved back."
"Milk and sugar?"
"Oh, yes, just milk, please."
"And you wanted to see my greenhouse, you said?" "I'm so sorry, there isn't anything left of it to see. I'd hate to see you come out this way for nothing."
"Not at all. I've just been looking for a greenhouse for my business. I sell seeds online."
She paused, wondering if "online" was a familiar concept to an 83-year-old woman who lived in a museum of a house.
I'd like to cultivate some bulbs and start selling them."
"Well, you're welcome to it, my dear,"
Luna said, holding out a delicate china cup towards Kate. Kate noticed the skin of Luna's hand was almost as delicate and translucent as the china.
"I don't know how much use it'll be to you. It's been so run down for years."
"I would be happy to fix it up," Kate said earnestly. "It has great bones. It just needs new glass in places and a good clean. It's really a remarkable addition to the house. I don't think I've ever seen a house with a greenhouse attached."
"We used to grow our own food during the war," Luna said conversationally.
"And victory gardens. For the war effort, you know."
She said this last as if victory gardens were all the rage 2 or 3 years ago, not something that most people these days would have to Google. Kate smiled at the older woman, assessing her, trying to judge if she were a permanent resident of 1943, in her head at least.
"I'm actually quite surprised," Kate ventured, looking around the room again, this time to cast a critical eye over the bones of the house. "I don't mean any offense, but from the outside, it seems like no one lives here." May I ask, are you sure it's safe? Structurally, I mean?
Oh, yes, this house is solid as the pyramids. It just doesn't look as well as it once did.
Luna thought for a moment and added, it must look a fright from the outside with so much overgrowth.
I used to tend to the garden myself, but I'm afraid I'm not the horticulturalist I used to be.
Do you like to garden? Kate asked, again without stopping to think. She felt an odd thrill of excitement, like being a lost tourist and finally finding someone who spoke your language.
Oh, I used to be quite the gardener in my younger days.
Luna sipped at her tea, and Kate noticed for the first time that she was wearing a pale coral lipstick, because most of it remained in a half-moon shape below the rim of Luna's cup. She must have put the makeup on while she was preparing the tea, Kate thought. She had company, after all. Must look one's best.
And there is a young man that comes by every few weeks to tend to things that need immediate attention, Luna went on. He's always encouraging me to move into one of those assisted living facilities. You know the kind, I mean, bland meals and television all day, like that. But I told him this is my home, and in my day one's home was one's castle. I won't leave here until they carry me out.
Kate nodded, not sure if she should smile at Luna's delightfully feisty delivery of this last pronouncement, giving the somber image her words had just conjured up. But then again, judging by how sharp and even sprightly Luna seemed, it could be another decade or two before anyone had to carry her anywhere.
But oh, how I loved flowers. I loved the language of flowers, Luna said. I had a beau once who sent me a different bouquet every week, each one symbolizing something different. My mother had a book we kept in the hallway. You could look up all the various meanings of each flower, like red roses for passionate love, and tulips for true love and hope. It was delightful.
Kate wanted to ask if that young man had become Mr. Luna, but didn't want to pry. Besides, she felt the tingling of an idea beginning to form. She could design a new line of heirloom seeds all around the language of flowers, putting together seed packets that would bloom into gardens full of forget-me-nots and lilacs for love and remembrance, red roses and chrysanthemums for passion, white violets for happiness. She could even source some old-fashioned images of flowers for the packaging, or find a book like the one Luna mentioned.
I started growing my favorites myself, Luna went on, smiling at the memory, lines crinkling around her eyes and lips. I think I loved the cornflowers the best. Such a beautiful blue.
Cornflowers, yes, Kate agreed. They're among my most popular requests from customers. Some people want packages of complimentary species all in blue. Bluebells and forget-me-nots, too.
My young beau sent me forget-me-nots as his last bouquet, said Luna.
No, I tell a lie. It was yellow carnations for rejected love after I turned him down. Oh, he was cross with me wasting all that money on flowers.
Kate laughed, enjoying the delight on the older woman's face. It was odd, she thought. This entire situation was just odd. 10 minutes ago, she'd assumed this house had been condemned, and now she was sitting in a bright time capsule of a parlor with an octogenarian, drinking tea and talking as if they'd known each other for years. Maybe this was the way older people viewed new friendships, she thought. Why waste time cautiously courting a new acquaintance? Why not brew up some Darjeeling and have a chat?
Kate felt herself relaxing a little, sitting back into the Chesterfield more comfortably. Even though the room presented a stiff kind of formality, there was something homey about it as well. Or maybe it was just the warmth she felt from the charming lady across from her, so happily sharing a bygone world with her, and a love of flowers that Kate had never found in anyone else.
"Did he court you for long?" Kate asked. "Oh, goodness, no. I liked him well enough, but he wasn't for me. It just took him an age to finally accept it and turn his attention somewhere else. I think he married one of the Albright girls and moved to Denver, eventually. He was a dear, but I just couldn't return his affections.
Kate laughed. My friend Paige is a bit like that. She has a friend who's just crazy about her, but she doesn't seem interested.
At the sound of Paige's name, something vivid sparked in Luna's eyes. It was there for just a second, a flash of something like recognition and surprise.
"Do you mean Paige Kincaid?"
Luna asked.
"Yes," Kate blinked. "Yes, my best friend, Paige Kincaid. Do you know her?"
"I knew most of the old families in Cedar Lake," Luna replied. "I knew the Kincaids quite well."
"Paige runs the local bookstore."
"Yes, Lizzie and Fitz," Kate nodded. "That's where I met Mrs. J and Mrs. Hatch, the ones who told me about you. I was just there."
"It's a beautiful bookstore," said Luna. "It's been a going concern in this town for many, many years. I'm so glad she keeps it open."
"She loves it," Kate said. "I believe her grandfather started it."
"Frederick," Luna said simply.
"Yes. Yes, he did."
Kate paused for a moment, noticing the strange expression in Luna's eyes. It wasn't quite inattention, more like Luna was recalling something long past, but not wanting to dwell there too long. Her eyes drifted a little as she sipped her tea, but came back to meet Kate's. Luna smiled brightly, the moment having passed.
"And of course you must know her brother, Noah."
Kate's stomach lurched a little.
Not unpleasantly.
"Oh, yes. He tormented both of us growing up."
"He is such a delightful young man,"
said Luna, her voice dipping down to a reverent hush.
"So handsome and strong."
"Oh, is he ever.
And such a kind heart, too.
He's the one I told you about, the young man who comes to check on me every couple of weeks."
The lump that lodged in Kate's throat both silenced her and made her want to speak, if only she knew what to say. It shouldn't have surprised her at all that Noah looked in on Luna. It could have been part of a wellness check from the fire department, but she doubted it. More likely it was simply Noah being Noah, looking after everyone, caring about everyone. And wasn't that the irony, she thought, swallowing past the lump. Why did someone so kind-hearted and protective have to be such a wandering soul? And why did that soul have to wander off to Panama? Kate sipped her tea and tried to clear thoughts of Noah from her mind. Somehow, just picturing him sauntering up to Luna's doorway, all decked out in his EMS uniform and sunglasses, he'd definitely be the kind to rock some shades on duty, made another little hot chill ripple through her. Was kindness one of her turn-ons? Should she be trolling the local neighborhood watch meetings for a potential husband?
"Are you all right, my dear?"
Luna's bright eyes were keen beneath her crepey eyelids. Kate smiled self-consciously.
"Yes, Luna," she faltered. I have to admit, I feel disrespectful calling you by your first name."
Luna waved the idea away.
"Oh, you just call me whatever you like. Miss Travers, if you insist. But that always sounds so fussy to me."
"Miss?" Kate's eyebrows rose. "Did you never marry?" In other circumstances, with someone else, it might have been an impertinent question. But Kate felt nothing but openness and warmth from Luna, and for the first time in a long time, didn't feel awkward herself. Luna brought her cup to her lips, with a slightly trembling hand. She sipped delicately, barely taking in any liquid at all.
"I did, once. But that was a long time ago."
Waiting to hear the story there must be behind a woman of 83 who had been married but hadn't taken her husband's name, or, equally as rare, had stopped using it, Kate drank more tea and nestled into the corner of the Chesterfield. When Luna didn't explain further, Kate spoke to fill the silence. Luna is a very unusual name, especially for someone of your generation, she said. Your parents must have been ahead of their time.
Mirth twinkled in Luna's eyes. Not hardly, my dear. I wasn't christened Luna, you see. I was saddled with the name Luella Nadine. Can you imagine? What a thing to name a baby.
Kate laughed.
I don't know, it's kind of pretty. My sister got it worse. She was named Horatia Philomena. And my brother was Alphonse Whittier Philpot Travers, if you can get your mouth around that one.
Wow, he must have had fun in kindergarten, Kate laughed.
He's been just Al since he was 4 years old, Luna smiled. And Horatia called herself Phil all her life, so I decided to rename myself too. I just took the first two letters of each of my names and came up with Luna. Like the moon, you know.
Well, I think it's beautiful, Kate said. And it really suits you. A blush dusted Luna's pale cheeks, and for a moment she looked like the young girl she had once been, dreaming up a romantic name for herself.
My mother hated it. Foolish name, she said. Luella Whittier and Nadine Philpot were my grandmothers, and I owed them more respect than that. Nonsense. If life doesn't start you out right, well, sometimes you have to make your own magic.
Kate smiled. I couldn't agree more.
And what about yourself?
Are you married? Luna asked. Something about the way Luna put the question made Kate feel so much less embarrassed by the question than she normally was when strangers asked about her husband or lack thereof. When others asked her this question, it was more like they already assumed she was and just wanted to give her a chance to fill in details like name and occupation and number of children. But Luna was asking as though she didn't already assume there was a Mr. Malone, and it buoyed Kate's spirits somehow.
No, I'm single, Kate replied, aiming for an airy tone, but instead breathing out the words on a shaky sigh.
She smiled to try to lower the self-pity level a notch or two.
But I don't blame you, all you young career women these days, Luna said with warmth. Good for you, I say. Don't settle if you don't have to.
Don't settle down? Kate clarified, not sure she'd heard Luna right.
You're so young, my goodness, you should enjoy your life, Luna continued. It's not like in my day when marriage was expected and just so...
Kate wanted to help her find the right word, but didn't have a hope of knowing what word Luna was grasping for. She could have been on the verge of saying just about anything. Sexist? Confining? Perfunctory?
So wholly unsuited to the human heart.
Kate blinked. Luna's eyes wandered over to the window again, and again the delicate china cup brushed her pale lips. She was reliving something again, her eyes sharpening on what had to be a particularly vivid memory. Or perhaps just a painful one. Kate didn't know what to say, but felt a strange sympathy for this lovely lady, in whose frail little frame it seemed the heart of a young woman still beat.
I do so love cornflowers, Luna finally mused.
I should go, thought Kate, feeling the first twinges of discomfort at having wandered into this lady's memories. Yet she hated the idea of leaving Luna here all alone, visited only by Noah every few weeks, it seemed. Did she have no children? No family? Kate didn't want to wade into those choppy waters, at least on this first meeting. But neither could she live with just taking her leave.
I really must be going, Miss Travers.
Luna, Kate began, placing her cup down carefully on the coffee table. It's been a true delight meeting you. I was wondering if you'd consider coming to Page's bookstore tomorrow evening. A ladies' book club is having a meeting, and it seems like it might be a lot of fun. I could pick you up if you'd like to go.
Luna's eyes brightened, and another blush effused her soft cheeks.
Oh my, that sounds lovely. But are you sure I'd be welcome? I haven't been very social amongst the townfolk in many years. I'm sure you'd be more than welcome. Do you like Agatha Christie? Luna cocked her head to the side and smiled bashfully. Oh, indeed. In fact, I had the pleasure of meeting Mrs. Christie once in Torquay. Delightful lady, very elegant. Then you'll definitely be welcome. Kate squeezed her hand gently. The ladies call themselves the Agathas, and Paige says they're devoted to her work. I'm sure they'll have endless questions for you. Well, then it sounds marvelous, Luna said. And in the genuine girlish delight Kate saw tugging at the corners of Luna's lips, she began to feel, maybe for the first time in her life, like she had done a good thing for someone else, and knew the full flush of quiet happiness that feeling brought with it.